So if you'll turn with me, if you have a Bible with you, to Matthew chapter 5. And today we're going to begin a series on the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. Of course, that word Beatitude comes from the Latin word Beatus. Beatus, which means blessed or happy. And so that's where we get the term Beatitudes. But all of these blesseds that you find at the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, these are the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. And so today and over the weeks to come, over the summer period, we're going to consider these wonderful statements that are part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, and it's verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Let's just look to the Lord, please, in a word of prayer. Father, we thank thee today for the word of God. We thank thee for every part of the word of God. And particularly, Lord, we thank thee today for the Beatitudes. Lord, for these wonderful statements that came from the very lips of God himself, God the Son. And we just ask, Lord, now as we begin this series, Lord, that you'd bless us, that you would encourage us, that you'd speak to us, that you'd teach us. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us, Lord, at the end of this study, at the end of this series. Oh, Lord, we pray that we'll have a better grasp of the Beatitudes. And oh, Lord, we just pray, Father, that our lives might be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, they made it in the end. I'm speaking, of course, about the England football team playing in South Africa. For the first two matches of the World Cup, I don't know whether you watched the first two matches, but of course England didn't play well at all, and everyone was writing them off and saying that they're not going to go far in the World Cup and that they're going to not even make it through the first stage. Well, they did make it through the first stage. They won the match on Wednesday. Of course, they play Germany today. Sad, of course, that it's on the Lord's Day. We know that football matches should not be played on the Lord's Day, but that's another issue. But nonetheless, England have made it through. Some people were saying that the reason why they played so badly in the opening two games was because of an attitude problem. Too many of the big players, the important players, had an attitude problem. And of course, people put it down to the fact that they're being paid too much money and all sorts of other reasons and expectation and all the rest of it. But there was something wrong with their attitude. They didn't have the right attitude, the right approach, the right frame of mind as they stepped out onto the pitch, and that's why their performance wasn't up to scratch. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5, he comes to address attitude problems. And you know, friends, very often problems that are in churches come down to attitude problems. attitude problems. And that's one of the reasons why, of course, these are the Beatitudes. That's one of the reasons why people, why commentators describe these as the Beatitudes, these blesseds in Matthew 5, because the Lord Jesus Christ is addressing attitude problems. And he's seeking to correct attitude problems. Now, notice that he is speaking to those who are already saved. Jesus is speaking to Christians here. You see, some people have assumed and have believed that when Jesus spoke the Sermon on the Mount, when he preached that tremendous sermon, some people assume that it was to everyone, it was to multitudes, it was to the unsaved. But you'll notice verse 1. He went up to a mountain, up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. His disciples came unto him, and it was to those disciples that he started with all those blesseds. Blessed, blessed, blessed. It was to his own people. The Lord Jesus wanted to correct attitude problems. The Beatitudes. Someone called them beautiful attitudes. Not Beatitudes, but beautiful attitudes. And you know, whenever you consider these attitudes, these Beatitudes, they are really beautiful attitudes. And these are the attitudes that the Lord wants to find in his people. I want you, first of all, to notice that all of these Beatitudes or beautiful attitudes were displayed in the life of Christ. He was a walking example of the Beatitudes. The first one in verse 3, the one we're going to consider today in a moment. The poor in spirit. Jesus was poor in spirit. They that mourn, verse 4. Jesus mourned. Verse 5, the meek. What did he say in Matthew 11? I am meek and lowly in heart. Verse 6, they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That was Christ. The merciful. Well, surely that's one of the characteristics of the Savior. Of course he's merciful. The pure in heart. He was pure in heart. His heart was perfectly pure. Not a blemish within his spirit, within his soul. It was spotless. And every appetite and every desire was perfectly holy. The peacemakers, verse 9. On the cross, Christ was the great peacemaker. He made peace between God and man. Verse 10. They which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, Christ was persecuted. And verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. You see, whenever Christ was on this earth, people said all manner of lies against him. They accused him of all sorts of things and ridiculed him and reviled him. Oh, when we look at all of these beatitudes or beautiful attitudes, they point us to Christ immediately, immediately. That's where we start. In the life of the Savior, in the death of the Savior, we see all of these attitudes so wonderfully worked out. I want us to consider the first one today. Verse 3, this is the first one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Consider the first word, blessed. I want us to think about happiness for a moment or two. Happiness. Because that word blessed means happiness. Happiness. The world today says that happiness is found in alcohol. So many people believe that today. So many people feel that it's alcohol that brings happiness. That's why so many people were out last night boozing in the pubs, in the clubs, and coming out of those pubs at 1 or 2 in the morning, stumbling, staggering home. Oh, that's what the world says brings happiness. Alcohol. We see so many adverts on the television today. And nearly every commercial break that takes place on the TV, one of the adverts, one of the commercials will be a commercial, an advert for alcohol. And it portrays alcohol to be such a joyful thing, and it portrays it as a positive thing and something that brings happiness and satisfaction to people. But the reality is that alcohol does not bring happiness and satisfaction. But it ruins and it wrecks and it brings misery. Some people say that music brings happiness, that happiness is to be found in the music you listen to. And my, there's so much music around today, and so much of it is from the pit of hell itself. So much music today is from the devil himself. Of course, there's good music, there's beneficial music, of course, Christian music. That's why we have music in our church on a Sunday, because it is beneficial. Of course, even music like classical music can be beneficial and therapeutic. I remember hearing of a minister, and before he would preach, he would listen to classical music because that calmed him and it settled him down for the service and it got him into the right frame of mind. And that was what he did to prepare himself for preaching. Some people say that happiness is to be found in sport. Others say that it's to be found in sex. There's such a great emphasis today and so much temptation through the medium of sex. And sadly today, sex is portrayed as being something that brings happiness. And of course, people today are encouraged to engage in sexual activity outside of marriage. That's the whole thrust of the devil's tactics today. Earlier, I referred to television adverts. And we said that there are so many adverts that advertise alcohol. Well, whenever we think of television adverts, of course, there's so many adverts that, where sex is used to entice the viewer. And no matter what advert it is, even if it's an advert for sweeties or ice cream, nearly every advert, it seems, every advert that you watch, there's some smutty innuendo associated with it. And behind it all is this attitude or this belief that somehow sex can bring happiness. There are people who say that drugs bring happiness. There are people, of course, who say that money brings happiness. Sadly today, there are even people who say that suicide brings happiness. There are people today who think by taking their own lives that will end all the pain and all the depression, and they'll go to a place where there's no more pain and sorrow, and there'll be nothing but happiness and freedom and release from the anguish. But of course, that's false. Suicide does not bring happiness. So many things today that people say brings happiness. But of course, there's only one thing that really brings true happiness, and that is obeying what the Lord Jesus Christ teaches in the Beatitudes, the Blesseds. If you want to be happy, pay close attention to these verses in Matthew 5. If you want to be happy, get a hold of the attitudes that Christ speaks of here. But that word blessed means more than happy or happiness. The word blessed, to be more accurate, means to have the approval of God upon your life, to have the applause of heaven upon your life. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 5, as he quotes these Beatitudes, as he says, blessed this and blessed that and blessed the other thing, he's really saying, I will bless the person who has these attitudes. And you can just almost see the Savior on the Mount of Beatitudes, and he's sitting there, and you can almost see him lifting up his hands to bless his people, the disciples. And he's saying, if you'll be poor in spirit and mourn and be meek and hunger and thirst after righteousness and be merciful and all the rest, I will bless you. The blessing of the Lord will be upon you. The applause of heaven will be yours. The approval of God will be upon your life. My, what a blessed thing it is. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to live every day knowing that the approval of God rests upon your life. That God is pleased with your life. That he's happy with your life. That you are blessed. We have happiness here. But you see, there's also humility. Because Jesus doesn't just say blessed. He goes on to say, blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit. Here's humility. Humility. The word in the Greek is the word tokos. P-T-O-C-H-O-S. Do you know what it means? Bankrupt. Bankrupt. To be poor in spirit means to be bankrupt. Spiritually bankrupt. You see, the Lord Jesus here is teaching that it's his desire, first of all, that you and I would realize that we are spiritually bankrupt. He desires that we would be poor in spirit, that we would have true humility. I want you to realize that this is an essential for a sinner. First of all, an essential for a sinner, this humility. Being poor in spirit, this is an essential for the sinner. You see, this is the place that you must start today if you're not a Christian. You must be poor in spirit. The word is actually the same word that is used in Luke 16 verse 20 when it describes Lazarus, the beggar at the gates of the rich man. Luke 16 verse 20, and there was a certain beggar. That's exactly the same word as used in Matthew 5 and verse 3. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. You see, the Lord Jesus uses exactly the same word that is used that he uses in Luke 16 to describe Lazarus. It's the word beggar. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Jesus is really saying, blessed are the beggars. The beggars, the spiritual beggars. And dear friend, if you're ever to be saved, if you're ever to be a Christian, the place you must start is by realizing that you're a spiritual beggar, that you're bankrupt in the sight of God. You must realize that you have nothing to offer a holy God apart from your sin. Nothing else. You must realize that you can bring nothing to the Lord that would commend his favor. There is nothing that you can bring to God that would cause Him to be gracious or to pour His blessings upon you. You're absolutely bankrupt. And Jesus wants you to realize that. Because you see, there are people in our world today who are spiritually bankrupt. They are spiritually poor. They are spiritual beggars, but they don't realize it and they don't acknowledge it. What Jesus says is the person who acknowledges that they're poor in spirit, that they're spiritually bankrupt, those are the people who can be saved. The word actually, this phrase, poor in spirit, actually means to cower or to cringe or to bow before. You see, the idea is of a beggar coming before a great king in their rags, with absolutely nothing. They are empty-handed as they approach the great monarch and they cower before him, they bow before him, they cringe in his presence because they are so bankrupt and so poor, because they have nothing, absolutely nothing. And dear friend, if you are to be saved, you must come to the Lord Jesus today just like that. Realizing that you have nothing that you can bring to Him. There is nothing in your hand that can save your soul. You must realize today that if you are to be saved, it will be totally through God's grace. It will be grace that will save you. It will be mercy that will save you. It will be the work of God. It will be completely the work of God. You will have no part in your salvation. What did the hymn writer say? Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Another hymn writer put it like this. Nearer still, nearer. Close to thy heart. Draw me, my Saviour. So precious thou art. Fold me, O fold me, close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in the haven of rest. Nearer still, nearer. Nothing I bring. Not as an offering to Jesus my King, only my sinful, now contrite heart, grant me the cleansing thy blood doth impart. If you're to be saved today, you must come as a beggar. You must be poor in spirit. That's where we all must start. To be poor in spirit is an essential for a sinner, but it is also an evidence of a saint. Not only an essential for a sinner, but an evidence of a saint. All the Christians, because there were no great Christians. There are no great Christians. There are just Christians. In the sight of God, we're all equal. We're all His redeemed people. But in the Bible, all the Christians that we read of, they were all poor in spirit. You read about Moses. Whenever God called Moses to go into Egypt to take the people out of Egypt, Moses made excuse after excuse because he was poor in spirit. Lord, I cannot speak. Lord, I am inadequate to stand before Pharaoh and to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt. Moses was poor in spirit. But think of Gideon. Whenever the angel of the Lord came to Gideon, we read that Gideon responded the same way as Moses. Gideon's attitude was, Lord, surely you've got the wrong person. It couldn't be me. You couldn't be calling me, asking me to do this great task. He was poor in spirit. We think of Isaiah. Whenever Isaiah saw the Lord, he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." You see, Isaiah in his prophecy pronounces different woes against different people and different nations. He says, "Woe unto this nation, and woe unto that nation, woe unto the other nation." But you see, the Lord gets him to the stage where he says, "Woe is me." Isaiah's not so much concerned with the nations that deserve judgment, but he sees himself and he realizes that he deserves judgment. And he says, "Woe is me." He was a Christian. He was a child of God. But he still realized, "Woe is me." He was poor in spirit. Paul the Apostle, you can go home and read Philippians chapter 3, where he describes all of his qualifications and his credentials, as it were. He was a Pharisee, and concerning the law, he was blameless. And Paul gives an account of his religious life, but he says it's all worth nothing. It's vain. It's of no value because it can have no part in salvation. And the Apostle Paul was poor in spirit. He realized that it was only through the saving grace of God in Christ that he had been forgiven. All of these believers, Old Testament and New Testament, they were all poor in spirit. And every genuine believer throughout all the ages of history will be poor in spirit. You see, if you come across a Christian who boasts, you beware of them. Beware of boasting Christians. It's a sign that there's something wrong. Christians do not boast. They do not boast of themselves because they realize that in them there dwells no good thing, and they depend totally and utterly upon the grace and the mercy of God. There's no such thing as a boasting Christian. You see, and let me say something else today. Where there is a child of God who is poor in spirit, they will be more concerned with their own faults than with the faults of others. Oh, that's a mark of someone who is poor in spirit. That's a mark of a Christian who is poor in spirit. That's an evidence of a saint. If you find someone who professes to be a Christian and they're always finding fault, they're always picking holes, they're not saved. They're not saved. Because they're not poor in spirit. You see, whenever you're poor in spirit, your focus isn't on the faults of others. You're not going round all the time looking at him and her and the other person and finding fault with them. No, you're not. Oh, you're looking at yourself and you're, "Oh Lord, I failed you in that area. Lord, I failed you in that area. Lord, I should have done that and I didn't do it. Lord, I shouldn't have done that, but I did do it, Lord. Lord, oh Lord, have mercy upon me because I have failed." Other people's faults don't come into it. I said at the very beginning that one of the reasons why there are so many problems in churches today is because there are attitude problems. And this is one of the biggest attitude problems in the Church of Christ today. People who are always finding fault with the other person, or always finding fault with the church. The church did this, or the church did that, or the church did the other thing. Aye, that's the problem. You know, friends, that one of the greatest needs of the church in Ulster today is that individual believers would get away from finding fault with the church or with another believer and start finding faults with themselves. Oh, blessed are the poor in spirit. I remember hearing of a little old lady who couldn't do very much for the Lord, but she wanted to do something for the Lord. And so one night in her church, there was a special service and there was tea after the service. And the little lady, she volunteered to help with the tea. And of course, she went to help and she began giving out the cups to the people for their tea. But then afterward, someone took her to the side and pulled her up for giving out the wrong cups. She was supposed to give out some other type of cups. She had given out the wrong cups to the people. And that other believer took that little old Christian lady aside and criticized them for what they had done. Sometime later, the minister of the church heard about what had happened. And he went to the little old lady and he said, "Dear, if you don't mind, I would like to go to that other Christian, that other person who came to you and criticized you for giving out the wrong cups. I'd like to go to them and to set them straight and to make it clear that they were out of line. They shouldn't have done that. You were just trying to help." You know what she said? "Oh, don't bother. Please don't bother. Don't worry about it. Just let it go. Don't do it because I don't want to cause any trouble in the church." That's the right attitude, isn't it? Isn't that the attitude that we need to have? Even when we're wronged, we just let it go. She was poor in spirit, wasn't she? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.